You know? All right. Well, go ahead and open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 1 as we're going to start a whole new chapter here within the service here. And obviously, chapter 1 is a very long chapter, so I don't know. We'll try to get through it. You know me. I just like to line upon line, precept upon precept. It's a long book, so we'll see. Maybe we'll get through it right at the end when the rapture comes. I don't know. But it is a very good book, and like I said, the Lord's been pressing on my heart. We need to get back to Jesus. We're systematically going through the Bible. We ended with Romans, but the Lord said, back to Jesus. I don't want to go beyond Jesus. Remember, he's the foundation. He is the Word, and the Word became flesh, and it dwelt among us. And then from there, we will shoot to Corinthians and then continue on through the New Testament or head down to the Old Testament. But the book of Luke, let's pray. Let's ask God's blessing that he will open our hearts, open our eyes, open our ears, and that we can apply the book of Luke to our lives. And maybe like Alex prayed this morning that, you know, that we would be fed little nuggets of truth. And maybe you might get a nugget this morning, or maybe you'll get a full meal. But do not leave here without the Word of God speaking to you. Do not leave here the same person that you came in. Allow the Word of God to saturate your heart and to really give you that heart of flesh. Remove that heart of stone. If you need healing this morning, allow the Word of God to heal you, whether it's physically, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, even financially. Let the Word of God heal you this morning. And that's going to depend on you and depend on how you receive God's Word. It just takes faith. Not big faith, guys. Faith of a mustard seed, like this. Not like this. He's not talking a grapefruit faith. A mustard seed faith. It's just believe it. That's it. Okay, Lord, I believe you're going to do this. My faith I tell people this is faith. I don't know when, I don't know how, but I know he will. And that's all I have to say about that. Okay. So, Luke chapter 1. Did we pray? Okay, let's pray then. Father, we do come before you, and we want to thank you this morning as we get back to Jesus, get back to our roots, get back to our foundation of our faith, Lord, our Savior and our Lord. We want to ask that you would clear our minds and our thoughts. We ask that you would forgive us of our sin. Jesus, as we acknowledge you as our Lord and Savior, we acknowledge you that Jesus, according to Romans 10:9, that you did die on the cross for our sins, that you did rise from the dead, and that you will return, and that we are born again, that we are a child of God. And we're not basing this on feeling, Lord, because our feelings they change every time, and they move up and down, and we're basing this on the facts, on the Word of God, as Luke is based on facts and not feeling. And so, Lord, this morning we want to trust in you. We want to ask that you would bless us. Speak to us, Lord. I pray that everyone here would be spoken to in one way or another. Even if it's just one word, just let that one word be rooted and grounded in everyone's heart. And may it just grow leaps and bounds. And it all will point to Jesus. Not point to themselves, not point to any man, but point to Jesus. And we thank you, Father, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. I do want to mention that, you know, one scripture in the book of Luke, and which don't turn there, but it's Luke 16, verse 10. We will get there one day or another. Jesus said, he who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And, you know, I think that's something that we have to deal with is if you're going to be faithful in the little things, God's going to bless you in greater things. If you're wondering, why is that person always blessed? I used to be like that. Why is that person blessed? Why ain't I blessed like that? Are you faithful in the little things that God does give you? The blessings. Are you content with what he does give you? And I had to get to the point where, Lord, whether you give me much, whether you give me the right amount, or whether you give me a little, I learned to be content with that. I learned to be faithful and to trust in that, because if I'm faithful in the little things, God, you're going to bless me in greater things. And so this morning as we look to Luke, I pray that God will bless you in greater things in your walk with God, that this year won't be like last year, okay? This year will be the year that God will do greater things in your life. And not only in your personal life, but here within the body, this body of Christ. Not in other bodies, other churches, but here in this body. That God will raise you up to do greater things and that we can expand and really reach this community. So really pray and ask God to show you what you are being faithful in, what you need to be faithful in, and allow him to do greater things in your life. So now, back to Luke. I want to give you a little introduction here as I want to get that out of the way. It's always good to have a little, nothing that you don't not know already, but obviously, Luke is the writer of this gospel, no doubt. I mean, if you're here saying, well, who wrote the book of Luke? You know, it's probably a guy named Sam. I don't know. It's Luke. He's the writer of the, and this is the third gospel. There are four gospels, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, it's interesting because Matthew, Mark, and John, they were Jews. They were Jewish descent. Now, Luke wasn't. Now, I always used to think that Luke was Jewish, but he wasn't Jewish. He was Greek. He wasn't Jewish. And in fact, Paul mentions that. He confirms that in Colossians chapter 4, where it shows us that he wasn't Jewish because he's not mentioned in the group of those who were of the circumcision, which that is the meaning of the Jews. And so this makes Luke very encouraging and fascinating to me personally, and I hope to you, in that he was the only non-Jewish Gentile writer in the New Testament book. You know what that tells me? It tells me that God is not a respected person. I am so glad that the men and women of the Bible, not all of them were Jewish descent. Not even in the bloodline of Jesus, there were many who were greater sinners than ourselves. Men and women who, they weren't perfect. In fact, every man and woman and child mentioned in the Bible had issues and had problems. Every one of them. And God does not sugarcoat them. He does not hide them from us. He does not keep them out of the Holy Bible, the Word of God. The only one who was sinless was Jesus Christ. And so Luke is the only Gentile who wrote, has his books in the New Testament. Again, Luke was Greek. He's the only Gentile who has that privilege of placing two books in the scriptures of the Word of God, the books that are recognized and they're inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, which again is the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts of the Apostles. If you want to throw Hebrews on there, some say Luke wrote the book of Hebrews. Others believe that it was Paul. But that's up to you. It doesn't matter. It's the inspired word of God. Luke was also a physician. Did you know that? He was a doctor. And just because he was a doctor, it wasn't like a doctor of today. In those days, a lot of the doctors, they were often slaves. And because Luke is writing to a person named Theophilus, because he starts it off here in the first four verses here, and he's writing to a man by the name of Theophilus, and he also mentions Theophilus in his book of Acts when he writes it there in Acts. Because he writes it to this man, Theophilus. Now, I'm going to read it from the book of Acts. He says, the former account that I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day which he was taken up. And after he, through the Holy Spirit, he gave us the commandments of the apostle whom he had chosen, the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he predestined, presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking these things pertaining to the kingdom of God, which, again, it's a Theophilus. Many believe that Theophilus was, Luke was his slave. He was like his personal CrossFit trainer, his physician. See, they had CrossFit back then because there's nothing new under the sun. You see that everywhere CrossFit is popping up. I mean, we have one right on the corner. And we have these men and women, and they're wearing these outfits that are not, to me, it shouldn't be worn, obviously, because they're show-offs. You know, if I wore that, it would look like, it would look like an ocean compared to a river. And they run, and I see them running, just running, and they run around the block, or they're running this way. It's cross, it's right there. And so Luke was considered Theophilus' CrossFit trainer, a servant. And apparently Theophilus got saved, and it could have been by Paul himself, who also saved Luke. And doing the right thing as a Christian. Hey, if I was your master, right? If you were my slave and I got saved, wouldn't the right thing to do is to free you? Right? But I probably wouldn't. But no, I would. And so it's possible that Theophilus, he freed and released Paul to join, to join Paul on his missions trips. And then there's some who believe that the man he's writing to, Theophilus, wasn't even a real person, that Luke was writing to the body of Christ because of the meaning of Theophilus' name means lover of God. So when he says Theophilus, some believe that he's talking to the lovers of God. Now, again, that's going to be my name. You can't have it when I get to heaven. I want to be Theophilus. But I want to encourage you this morning when you, let's do something here, okay? When you leave here and you talk to people, I want you to address them. Hey, lover of God, okay? I love, Ginger encourages me because she calls me mighty warrior of God, which I like that. It's like I want to pull out my flaming sword, you know? Can you picture that with long hair, you know, muscles and this breastplate going, and then with my two rabbit teeth, you know? I want to encourage you this morning, start calling people, go, hey, lover of God. I think that would be awesome, especially those who don't know the Lord may hear that, lover of God. It could be a way that you could witness and that you can share the gospel. So again, whether or not it's to a real person or to the church itself, we can only speculate, but there is some indication that Theophilus was a real person that Luke was writing to. And there are those who believe that the reason why that Theophilus was actually a person within the Roman Empire because Luke addresses him as the most excellent Theophilus. Now, that word, that title, most excellent, again, it would indicate that he was actually a person of authority in the Roman Empire because that word, that title, often acknowledged those who were in ruling position within the Roman government, those who were kings and governors, and they just had authority. They were always acknowledged as the most excellent. But whether or not, what we do know is how Paul felt about Luke. And because in Colossians chapter 4, 14 through 15, or just 14, Luke says, Paul says, Luke, the beloved physician and Demas greet you. So he was beloved by God. He was beloved by Paul, and he was beloved by the body of Christ. And he was one of Paul's closest companions who went on the missions trips with him and shared the gospel. So he would be like considered a missionary of today. And because he was close to Paul, and because he was a doctor, this would indicate that Luke was also a scholar. He was considered a student of the law, a student of the Word of God. He was very intelligent, very smart. Now, if you compare the four Gospels together, if you compare them, what they have in common, obviously, is Jesus. You can see when you read the book of Matthew's, when he writes to the Jews, he writes about how Jesus, he writes him as a king. A king of the Jews. And Mark, he presents Jesus as a servant of the Jews, a servant of God. John wrote about Jesus as being the Son of God, as a Son of God. And Luke, he portrays Jesus as the Son of Man, but a very perfect man, obviously, not just a man like us, a perfect man. So again, here's your introduction here. But I love the fact that what inspires me the most is that God used Luke, who wasn't even Jewish. He's not a respected person. If God can use Luke to be one of the writers in the New Testament that are inspired, because there were many other writings, as we're going to see, that weren't written in the book here, in the Bible, and that weren't inspired in that way. But they spoke the truth. And it'd be just like Oscar. Oscar, every morning I sit back, he comes up and he shares his devotion with me. He shares scriptures with me. Well, obviously, there's not a book of Oscar. Okay, if there was a book of Oscar, Oscar, it would probably be in the Old Testament because you look like a rabbi. But what he's given me is the truth, the word of God. And this is where Luke is coming from. Now look at verse 1. Luke says, as much as many have taken in hand to set in order a narrative or a declaration of the things which had been fulfilled among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word delivered them to us. It seems good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus, that you may know the certainty of those things in which you were instructed. So again, Luke, his gospel is a record of historical events of the life of Jesus Christ. And we're going to see that the book of Luke is actually, it's written in chronological order. In other words, the acts that took place in the beginning, that started with the earliest, and then everything falls in order as they take place. So his book, the book of Luke, it's in chronological order. It's as the events happen. And he gives a more detail of what took place. It's not like the other Gospels. They were written as the writers where they felt led to write them through the inspired by the Holy Spirit. And I heard a good example of this by a pastor. He says that this is how Luke wrote the book of the Gospel, the third Gospel. He wrote it in chronological order. So it would be like if he did the ABCs, A, B, C, D, E, F, while the other Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and John, wrote the Gospel not in chronological order. They might have been like A, D, F, B, E, C. It's not in perfect order. But it doesn't mean they're not inspired, because they are inspired by all of them. All four Gospels are inspired by the Word of God. But they wrote them as they were led by the Holy Spirit. Now, in the first two verses, look at the first two verses. Again, let's read those. Inasmuch as many have taken in hand to set in order a narrative of the things which have been fulfilled among us, just as those from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word delivered them to us. So something to keep in mind. Here in the first two verses, Luke himself, he was not an eyewitness of the day-to-day life of Christ. Not like Matthew, Mark, and John was. If Luke ever saw Christ personally, there's really no mention of it in his gospel here. However, Luke was very consistent, and he was a very dear companion of Paul. And Luke also, he had this close contact with the other apostles. But again, I believe that what Luke is saying in regards to his contact with Jesus Christ is that his writings here that we're about to go through, his writings about Jesus, was his only eyewitness account of Christ. Now, when Jesus was walking through the streets of Judea, Luke wasn't even there. He didn't live in Judea at that time. So the first four verses, Luke shows us that he tells us actually what he's talking about here. And because he researched it, he investigated the chronologically the life of Jesus and the events that took place that Jesus walked throughout Judea. Now, in the first two verses, Luke mentions that there are many other prior writings of the life of Jesus. I mean, he does acknowledge that, that there's already people who have already have accounts of all that had taken place around the life of Christ. And I'm sure he was also talking about the writings of Matthew, Mark, and John. But again, John was probably written after the book of Luke. But there was a lot of writings that were written, and they weren't recorded here, because he does mention that, but they're not recorded. They were writings that they were truth. They were true what they wrote, But obviously, they were not inspired or for us to read in the scriptures, not put in there. It's just like I said about Oscar. He shares the word of God with me. It's not his writings, but it's the word of God. It's true. And what he puts on the paper is from the word of God. And so look what he says in verse 1 and 2. He says it right there. He says, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, they delivered them to us. So many others had already written about the events of the life of Christ and many works that Jesus did. But Luke felt that they were not in as detail as he wanted them to be. And obviously he was a scholar and he really dug and he really searched the scriptures. And so Luke here declares that he has heard the messages from those person who actually were the eyewitness of the things that took place. He says, hey, you know, the writings came to me, but I researched this regarding the eyewitness of those who saw the events of Jesus. And notice in verse 1, look at verse 1 and notice that he uses the word us here in verse 1. He says, inasmuch many have taken in hand to set in order a narrative of those things which have been fulfilled among us. So he includes himself here, you know, and I believe Luke, he's saying that, you know, he might be saying the same thing, you know, like, hey, you know what? He knows that they're written by others, but yet, you know, I believe in them. Everything that they wrote, we believe in them. We know it was written by others. And their words, because we believe in them, they're written in our hearts. Now, you guys didn't, you weren't, anybody here walked in the days of Jesus? If you did, you'd be pretty old. That would be pretty amazing, right? But isn't those writings that others, that the authors of the books, isn't what they wrote written on your hearts? Why do you believe them? You weren't there. You don't know them personally. But you believe in Jesus and you know Jesus personally. Therefore, the words that they wrote are written on your hearts. They're written in your hearts. If you didn't have the Bible, I'm sure there's a lot of scripture and a lot of what Jesus did. You would be able to share with others without having a Bible. You might not be able to get the exact verses and maybe not even the exact book, but you would be able to share it. And so again, like you might be saying the same thing that Luke is saying. You know, you might be saying, hey, I already know that. What pastor is saying, I already know that. And if you do, I really believe that the reason why you're hearing it is because it's written in your heart. This is why you know it. This is why you're saying, oh, yeah, I already know that. Tell me something new. Why? Because it's written in your heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul said in verse 3, he said, you are an epistle of Christ. You're ministered by us. You're written on with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of the flesh, that is, of the heart. In other words, it's okay to hear it again. Okay, what I'm sharing with you, it's okay to hear it again, guys. It's okay. And like Luke, what was already written, he found, hey, it's true, and we believe in them. And sometimes I believe God wants us to be reminded of them again. So when you hear the same thing, and when you know that already about what pastor is sharing or whoever shares it, whatever it's from the gospel and what is being presented to you, it's because you need to hear it again and because it's written in your heart. Now, those who Luke mentioned, we're talking about the eyewitnesses. What they did is they were ministers of the word. According to verse 2 here, look what he says in verse 2. He said, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word delivered them to us. They were eyewitness of what? Of both the word, which is Christ himself, and the words of Christ. They're witnesses of his teaching and his instructions. So they were eyewitnesses from the beginning. Now, the word eyewitness here, in the Greek, it means self-seeing. They were actually there. They saw it for themselves. What? Let me ask you this. What are you a witness of? What kind of self-seeing believer are you? that you have experienced in your walk with Christ. Now, I never saw Jesus personally. I saw Jesus, you know, which is spelled Jesus, right? If someone has his name, spell your name, J-E-S-U-S, Jesus in Spanish. But I am an eyewitness of self-seeing of Jesus working in my life, working in your life. I see it in you guys. I see it in your talk. I see it in your speech and how you react and conduct yourself. That is being a self-seeing Christian. See, I want to be a self-seeing Christian. I don't want to be a seeing is believing Christian. I want to be a believing is seeing Christian. Because there's too many seeing is believing going around. You need to be a believing is seeing. And so these guys were eyewitness. They were self-seeing of every event and word of Christ. Eyewitness of his day-by-day life. They heard, they saw him day by day, and because of this, they set out to minister what they witnessed in their lives. And they went out to, and they did this for others. And that which was so important to them, think about that which was so important to them, which was the life of Christ, which was the words of Jesus, they immediately gave their lives to the ministering of the Word of God. You can't contain it. I can't contain it. I got to share it, guys. What God gave me, I'm not going to hoard it. I'm going to do something with it. I'm not going to bury it in the ground. I'm not going to hide it in the mattress. I'm not going to put it in the corner or behind those books, those fake books. They look like a book, but they're not, you know. I'm going to share it. I'm going to share what this self-seeing man has witnessed of Jesus. I'm going to share with others. Because why? It's so important to me. Therefore, Luke's gospel, it's true. It's a true recording of both the acts and the works of Christ. And you know, the unique thing about it is they didn't share their own words or their own thoughts or their own ideals. You know, they were ministering the Word of God, and they were given a written account of the gospel, and they shared it exactly what was seen, what was heard, and what was proclaimed by Jesus. And what he preached to the people of his day. And that message is still being preached by eyewitnesses of today, which means me and you. Are you doing that? Are you being an eyewitness, sharing those same, just like them? Man, they say, hey, I witnessed it. I was there. I saw Jesus. I slept with them. I ate with them. I walked with them. You know what? I really believe Jesus played around too. I really do. There's nothing new on this. I bet you Jesus was sitting there. All the apostles were just staring at him. I bet he did this. He went. They probably said, Jesus, show us a great miracle, an act. No problem. No problem. Watch this. Whoa! They probably were shocked. And Jesus said, ay, 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 you know. Right? You know, they probably were tripping out, you know, they were so excited about this that they had to share. It's like, Jesus, show us another one. Okay, I'm going to show you another one, man. You know, and Jesus probably, you know, this is nothing new under the sun. They had this back in those days. And they went like this, and Jesus went like that, you know. And, okay, watch closer. You guys think it's still there? You think so? Sure, okay, sure, it's not okay. You know, it's like, wow, I'm going to share this. They can't contain it. What Jesus has given you, don't contain it, guys. You are a God container, but you need to share it. You need to share with others. You need to be that I self-seeking person. And so, and again, guys, they're not sharing themselves. See, this is the new this will help you out. When you share with others, don't share yourself. If you share the Word of God, if you share about Jesus, it makes it much easier to share. And whether they receive it or reject it, what you're doing is you're planting and you're watering seeds. It's up to God to raise them up. You're doing what God called you to do. Now, are you sharing what you found to be true? What have you been an eyewitness in your own life? And the things that were written and that were taught by others, are you sharing those? So again, Luke's gospel is a true recording of both the acts and the words of Jesus Christ to us. Just like the entire Bible is. The entire Bible is an inspired word of God. And that's why we got to read it. That's why you got to dig in it. I want to encourage you guys. When you have your devotions, write in your Bible. Put your notes in there. There's, you know, and I'm sharing this by experience. Something about when I write in my Bible, I get more out of it, and I can easily go back to it. This is my devotional Bible, and you know, all my notes are there, and this thing is so written up. But it's just something about doing that inspires me, and it encourages me more that I'm studying the Word of God and not just reading it, but I'm also studying it at the same time. And sometimes when I'm out in the store, I'll sit there and I'll just read it, and I can't study, but I'll read it. But it's the inspired Word of God. Now look at what Luke mentions in verse 3. Look at verse 3. He says, "It seems good to me also that having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus." So no doubt, you know, Luke, he started his own interrogation, you know, his investigation of the events that took place. And no doubt, you know, Luke knew how to research. He was a man of, he was smart, he was intelligent. He knew how to research, and he knew who the eyewitnesses were. He knew where to go. He knew where those who were eyewitnesses, he knew how to find them. He knew how to talk to them. He knew how to interview them. And Luke saw how important it was to seek them out. See, that's the key. He sought them out. He went and he searched for them. That's why it's important to search the Word of God. Don't just come here and think, okay, the Word of God is going to be presented, which it will. But you have to search it out. You got to seek what God wants to do in your life. You got to be an eyewitness of it. And so Luke saw how important it was to seek out those witnesses. For what? Well, look at verse 3. He did this that he might be able to what? Write an orderly account of which took place. That he can write it and what? Get it right the first time. That's the type of person I want to be. You know, I wish I had that type of attitude of wanting to get it right the first time. You guys ever get it right the first time? Why is that? You know, it's like those word puzzles. I do word puzzles with my granddaughter, and you know, it has all the alphabet, and then find this letter. And, you know, and I can get them all there. You know, the last one is maybe three, you know, and that should be simple. And I go through, and I can't find it. And I said, "Lord, why can't I get it right the first time?" And it's so then I go slower, and I still don't get it. And then I go this way, and finally it's right there in front of my face. I wish I had that type of attitude when it comes to the things of God, that I would get it right the first time. But I think, you know, the Lord just laughs at us sometimes. You know, he just, God makes it simple. I think we're the ones that make it very difficult. And so, you know, Luke, he had this perfect understanding of the things from the very beginning. Now listen, the word understanding here in verse 3, this is a key word. This means, and this is, you need to take this to heart. It means to study, to follow up, to search out diligently, to investigate, to trace accurately, to become acquainted with. That's very important in our lives. Because Luke says that because he had been acquainted with and having investigated all things, he was determined to record the facts himself. I'm going to do it myself. You know, that's why I get up here and I share. You know, I get more out of this than you probably will get out of it. I do. When I search this, when I study, man, I think it's going to mean a lot more to me than it will you. But you're going to get something out of it according to what the Holy Spirit wants to show you. But man, I tell you, I enjoy it. And Luke, he did this by what? By he started out seeking out the most incredible witnesses of all. And who would that be? Mary. Because the first few chapters talk about Mary, about Zacharias, about Elizabeth, about their life and the birth of Christ. So again, look at what Luke says in verse 3, the first half there. It says, it seems good to me also, having had perfect understanding of things from the very first. Now, it's interesting that this word first here, right there at the, in the middle of the scripture, you guys see first? Just kind of underline it, first. And if you want, you can underline it in the Bible next to you. That's okay. I don't, they're not going to mind. If they're not going to do it, you do it. Okay? But get it. Make sure that line's straight. Listen to what this word first means. It means the things from above. Okay? So Luke must be saying that he had what he investigated the things from above. In other words, his investigations, his interviews were in fact the moving and the leading of the Holy Spirit. When he interviewed someone, those who wrote the accounts of Jesus, when he investigated, that was all the leading and the moving of the Holy Spirit. I mean, Peter tells us that the same thing in 2 Peter chapter 1, and I think this is encouraging. In verse 21, he says, "For the prophecies never came by the will of men, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." I mean, how many of you believe that? Isn't that truth? I mean, I'm not up here on my own, in my own spirit. I feel led by the Holy Spirit. And I have to, by faith, accept and receive that what God has given me is the word that were already written by men who were inspired by the Holy Spirit, whether they're in the Bible or whether men who are living with us today. And I got to believe this is from God. Because if I don't, then it's going to come from me. And if it comes from me, then obviously it's not going to be a whole lot, right? It's going to have a lot of pictures. You know, I love to read books, but I love a lot of pictures, you know. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. Listen to what Peter said in his first book. He says, "Of this salvation the prophets had inquired, they searched carefully who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that, not to themselves, but to us," guys, "but to us they were ministering these things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which the, even the angels desire to look into." So again, he's recording all the things that are from above. All that he investigated, all that he searched out diligently, he wrote them down, and he wrote it as the Spirit of God led him. Because 1 Peter says that what we write, the Spirit of Christ, which is in us, did signify. So you know what? I think Luke was he's sharing and he's speaking as, like a man of God. You know, he's moved by the Holy Spirit, and he's proclaiming the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, not himself. He's proclaiming the good news of him who came from above. And you know what? I tell you this because the same is true for us today. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 19. I want to clarify that. He says, "But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak. For it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you." You believe that? Luke chapter 12, which one day we will get there. Verse 11. Jesus said, "Now when they bring you into the synagogues and to the magistrates and the authorities, don't worry about or what you should answer or what you should say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say." Do you believe that? John chapter 14, verse 26, John said this, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to you remembrance of all things that I said to you." How many of you believe that? And then 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, it says, But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teaches you. But at the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and it's true, and it's not a lie. And just as it is taught you, you abide in him. You see, the Holy Spirit wants to come out right now. He wants to teach the word. You know? So again, isn't that encouraging to you guys? It's encouraging to me that whenever you share the Lord, or whenever you teach the word of God, or whenever you preach in the streets, when you witness to others, it's a divine appointment. And it's led by the Holy Spirit of God that is in you. Quick testimony, good example was Tuesday when I got off to come to church here to work. I needed gas, I pulled into the Chevron station off University. And as I pulled up to the pump, I got out across, the pump across from me was KUSI news van, right? And I shared this with the widows. And I'm sitting there, I see a guy with a cap on, he's sitting in there in the guy pumping gas. I said, you know what, I'm going to go talk to this guy. So I walked up, I said, excuse me, and the look he gave me was kind of like, it was terrifying, I don't know. He kind of looked at me like, who's this, or what does he want? I said, excuse me, can I ask you a question? You know, I watch KUSI and early in the mornings, and whatever happened to that anchor woman, the short, blonde, skinny woman, Lisa? He said, oh, yeah, she decided that, you know, she wanted to retire and do something else. And I said, oh, and then I realized it was Ed Letterman, okay? And I didn't recognize him at first. I said, you know what? I want you to know that I have prayed for you. And he looked at me. He goes, because of my back or because of my cancer, my skin cancer on my forehead? And he lifted up. He has a patch. I said, it was because of your cancer, because I saw you one day and they were doing a special on your skin cancer and you were sharing all this. And all of a sudden, he just started sharing from high school, sharing all that he was going through with his skin cancer. And he said, I wish I would have done this earlier and detection and everything. I might have been able to handle this differently. And he says, I really don't like wearing this cap. If you watch KUSI, you see him in the morning, he has a cap on because it's right here in the forehead. So he's sharing this and he says, I just really hate wearing a cap. I said, well, you know what? I'm going to continue to pray for you, and I'm even going to have our church pray for you. Horizon North Park, we're going to be praying for you. He says, wow. He says, I really want to thank you, and I really appreciate that you're praying for me. I said, so I told him, I said, okay, you know, God bless you, and you're doing a great job. And as I was walking up, I says, hey, really thank you for praying. It was awesome. That's a divine appointment. That was Holy Spirit led. And this is what I'm talking about. Don't worry about what you need to say or what you're going to do. It's the Holy Spirit that's going to lead you as you, like Luke, investigate the scriptures. Investigate those things which were written about the life of Christ, and you find them to be true. God's going to, you be faithful in the little things. He's going to give you greater things. How many of you believe that? So I want to encourage you this morning, look for those divine appointments. They're out there. They're everywhere. They're right in front of you. Just simply say something. Hey, good morning. I say good morning to everybody. Hey, good morning. God bless you, or whatever it may be. That is a divine appointment. That is, you're being a self-seen witness. You're seeing it for yourself. God is using you, and he wants to use you every morning. He wants to use you every day. So as you continue to search the scripture, as you continue to read, apply them to your life. That's the key. Just don't be a hearer, but be a doer of the word. Amen.